fourth Sunday of Advent, it's getting closer. And what we're doing is fulfilling the whole sense of those characters that will be a part of the Nativity. Now, I know we kind of look for that one moment at Christmas Eve where we celebrate usually with family or friends and are joined together. My family was no different. We would gather all the extended family together. And as I was a little kid growing up, I was kind of the oldest of the cousins. We had an uncle who was married, but God had not gifted him with any children. So he was very good to all of the nieces and nephews. He loved, you know, doing whatever he could to extend himself. So he had got this great idea. And one Christmas Eve, he was going to get a costume of Santa, you know, and he was going to play Santa. Now, for those of you little ones who are here, we all know that Santa really comes on Christmas Eve at night when everybody's sleeping, and all the rest are just helpers, you know, so we know that. But he was going to play Santa. So what happened immediately was that we were told and put aside all the older cousins, now play along. When Uncle Sil comes up, you play along. So we said, sure, well, you know, okay. Because this is all for the little ones, especially Claudia, who was the littlest cousin at that time. And Uncle Sil wanted to do that. We said, fine, that's great. So, well, it came right after dinner, and Uncle Sil wasn't missed because he was a police officer, so he usually didn't arrive until much later in the dinner, so he wouldn't have been expected to be there. And all of a sudden, right after dinner, we hear the bells. Ching, 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 ching. And up, we could hear him coming up the stairs. And, of course, everybody rushed to the window. And there it was, Santa Claus. And Santa Claus came in, and he played it to the hilt. He was a thin guy, but he had a couple pillows underneath. You know, he had the beard really kind of tucked in really well. So he looked terrific. And then, of course, he played the part. He masked his voice, you know, Santa Claus with the big, heavy voice thing, and he called us by name. We all knew my name. He said, Jerome, come here, you know. And he'd give us all a gift. Of course, we were going to get more gifts on Christmas Eve at night, but this was a time that we were getting it right from the man himself. And then came little Claudia. And little Claudia came up, and her eyes were really big. And she sat on his lap, and he says, have you been a good girl, Claudia? She said, yes, yes. And I have a present for you. And give the present. And, of course, played it to the max. Went to the door, and Santa turned and says, a Merry Christmas to everybody. And we all hear, Merry Christmas, Santa. And as he reached to grab the doorknob, Claudia said, goodbye, Uncle Sil. You can't mask love. You can't mask love. You can put all sorts of contortions around it. You could put all sorts of things around it, but you can't mask love. You can't mask the relationship. It's there and it's very evident. You know, when a director kind of begins to create a play, he assigns different parts to everybody. And you have to play your part, and because the idea is the play, the message is the important thing, and you play your part. And when you play your part, you understand you're a part of the greater message. The thing that destroys immediately the message and the play is when you get the egos involved. I want to be the star. You get somebody who's supposed to be playing a minor part, which is supposed to emphasize something else, and then that person so exaggerates their part that they take away from the message that's supposed to be given. We're creating the Nativity play here. We're adding a central figure, Joseph, along with his spouse Mary. But the message is that God is with us. That's the message. The message is that God is with us. And the understanding is that each and every one of us plays their part in order to make that message known. That's the tremendous confidence. And the confidence is because we will do that, God will manifest himself through us. He'll proclaim his love, and he'll reach others in and through us. How remarkable. We take a look at the individuals who have occupied, our list of saints all throughout their lives, and the wonderful way they have manifested themselves. Many of them were just doing what they were called to do. And that's a great consolation for all of us We're doing the task that God has called us to do. And in that ordinary, what we would have deemed ordinary aspect of life, the extraordinary exploded. The extraordinary exploded. And through those aspects, through those various missions that are performed, and performed right here by this congregation and those who are listening to us, performed with the sense of God's presence, God reaches out and touches others' lives. What a wonderful aspect. There's a confidence, first of all, we place in God. And Joseph did that. He was confronted with a dilemma. There were three aspects in terms of looking at marriage during the Old Testament. There was the committal part, usually done by families, usually done at a very early age. You know, your daughter and your son, even though they're five or six, eventually they will be married. And then there's the betrothal part, where they do come and actually meet, and then there's the actual marriage. Well, we're at the betrothal part, and all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. And there's a tremendous trust that Joseph has to turn over. He was a righteous man, so he did not want Mary to be hurt by the law in any way, shape, or form. So he was going to do a right thing. He was going to help her and assist her so that it would get away from the impact of the law to help her. But then he was open to God's plan, and there comes the dream. And take a look how Joseph manifests himself. Where else do we have dreams? Obviously, in the Old Testament. The dream of Joseph himself. Remember that dream? You know, made into a wonderful musical. Joseph and the wonderful magic dream coat. Remember those? That beautiful depiction? Funny and good and lively. But it was an openness to the dream, to understand that God is working in and through even the most difficult situations. And Joseph was a difficult situation. He was literally sold into slavery, only so that he could be an instrument for the continuation of salvation history. Joseph's dream opens himself to the continuation and the manifestation of that salvation. But what happens? He has to be open to God speaking to him. He has to allow himself to do what he must do, the ordinary events of his life, but be open to God's presence in that. Mary was the same way, obviously. The tremendous yes by woman to trust that God would work through her and use her as an instrument of bringing the Lord into this world. Imagine being challenged at the age of 13 or 14 with that task. And yet what strengthened her immediately was the fact that she had a confidence in God and knew that God would work with her and do what the Lord, our God, needed to do in order to bring his presence into the world. So it is as we approach now Christmas, as we take this fourth Sunday of Advent, let us contemplate, especially in our own lives, how we are used as an instrument. Celebrate the fact that God is with us. Celebrate the fact of how you reach out to others and how that relationship and that love is known. Understand that, try as we might, even in our secular society, we can't deny the truth, the loving presence of God. And if we play our parts, we are all witnesses to his loving presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.